thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, we're going to continue with our year in the Psalm series. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 145, and I'll read from the NIV version today. Let's all rise, if you're able to, for the reading of God's Word. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I'll meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I'll proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words today, the song of praise recorded in Scripture. As we draw our attention to them today, help us to worship you in spirit and truth through your word, in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Be seated. So I was a sports fan growing up. I went to Penn State. I was actually born at Penn State. And so I've been a Penn State fan my whole life. And because of that, even as a kid, I didn't even know how to watch football, but I just knew I had to root for Penn State. And, you know, when you're into sports, and I know not all of you are into sports, there's always a debate about the GOAT. The GOAT. And to be honest, I had no idea what the GOAT meant. I'm like, what are they talking about, the GOAT? Right? But the GOAT stands for the greatest of all time. And there are always debates. So for football, who is the GOAT? You know, some would say it's a quarterback from New England. Some would say it's somebody else. And the debate goes on. Or some would say, well, during this era, it was this one person, but now it's another person. And so they can never settle who the GOAT is. Who is the greatest of all time? And depending on which side you're on, you could really win the argument. Like it's the guy I'm voting for or it's somebody else. However, the greatest of all time has been recorded in Scripture, and it is our God. Amen? Amen. I know I don't read from the King James that much, but in the King James, Psalm 143 says this, "Great is the Lord." It's all settled. Great is the Lord. "And greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable." The word great is there three times. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. End of argument. Great is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 143. Psalm 143, it's the last of the Psalms of David. So in the Psalm, David wrote many Psalms. This is the last one, Psalm 143. It's an acrostic Psalm, and I talked about what an acrostic Psalm is. That means each verse starts with the letter, so A, B, C, D, for example. That's how it goes down. And it is, eight of these are captured in the book of Psalms. Five of them were written by David. So David likes to go through his ABCs when he's writing songs, which is really cool. And the title of the psalm, I read that. We don't have a verse number, but this is part of Scripture. So the title of the psalm is a psalm of praise or a song of praise. And of course, it's attributed to David. Here's a fun fact. Out of all the titles listed in the book of Psalms, this is the only psalm with the title, A Song of Praise. Right? So this is a praise song. Augustine defines that as a hymn. So this is a hymn. This is a song of praise, and this is a hymn. So let's look at this hymn together. It starts by saying, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever." It starts out by David saying what he is going to do. He says, "I will exalt. I will praise. I will praise and I will extol. I am going to praise God." And he is singing this from the bottom of his heart. He has a reason to sing praises to God. And he's also calling his God what? My King. My God, the King. And he says that he's going to praise God forever and ever. So what does it mean to call your God King? Is God your King? If you can bow down to Jesus Christ, if you submit to him and you give up your life for him, then he is your King. The King who died and he rose for sinners like you and me. That's who our King is. He's our saving King. That is who our God is. And David is saying, "I'm going to praise you forever and ever. I'm going to do this daily." Notice this praise, he is proclaiming that he's going to do this on a daily basis. This is not just on Sundays. We don't praise God just on Sundays, amen? We praise God every day of our life. Do you praise him every day? What does it take to praise God every day? How can you and I praise God every day? Is it because Scripture commands us? Is it just because it says we need to do this? Is it an obligation to praise God? Or do we praise God because of who he is? Because he is my God. He is my King. Because he loves me. Because he died for me. And he's given me eternal life. It's because He is great. Right? We looked at this verse earlier in the King James. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is great. And because of his greatness, we are able to praise God. Our praise is tied to our view of who he is. If we have a low view of God, that means we have a low view of sin as well. And when we have a low view of sin and we have a low view of God, then our worship is really empty. It's empty worship. We can't really worship God. The only way we can worship God is when we know how great God is. Is God great? Can you say that God is great? God is great. He is great and he is good. And that's who our God is. And if you know in the depths of your heart that God is great and God is good, his greatness no one could fathom. If you know this, then your only natural response is praise. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's praise. And then, David says this, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. One generation commends. What does that word commend mean? Some translations would say one generation praises or declares your work to another. To commend means it's a commitment not only to the truth, but it's also love for the truth. That's what it means to commend. So it's not just committing to the truth, but you love the truth. And it says here that we are to commend to the next generation. This is important for all of us here. Because we are only one generation away from the church disappearing. Just one generation away. Just look around Beacon. Yesterday during the men's breakfast, we were talking about all these churches that are in Beacon. And some of them are experiencing growth, but most of them are not. And a generation ago, these were all vibrant churches in our neighborhood. So we are only one generation away. So how do we make sure that the next generation understands who God is? Well, we need to commend, we need to share, we need to teach the next generation. We got to tell them of the great works of God. So we are all responsible for this. Parents, we need to share and teach about the great works of God to our children. Right. Teachers, we need to do this too. Church, we need to do this too. The children downstairs, don't be satisfied that they're just downstairs and learning about God. We need to talk about the great works. We need to show them what it is to praise God, how we praise God. We need to do this all together. Amen? So we are all Sunday school teachers. Not just when they're downstairs. When they're here in our midst, we need to be able to show them how to praise God. And how do we praise God? It all starts with knowing inside how great he is. How great is our God? It's not just a song that we sing, but we worship him because he is great. He is great. Can you say that he is great?
He is great.
Even when your world is falling apart. And this has been a challenging year for us here. When it comes to health, many of the leaders here at Beacon were experiencing health issues. But what encourages me is, despite all that's happening, People are showing up to praise God, even in the midst of the storm. Just look around you. We're praising God. We were not just clapping and praising God when we heard the good news of healing in our lives. But even when we're in the middle of the storm, one by one, people came to church, they were lifting up their hands, and they were praising God because He is great. Because He is in control of all things. Because He is worthy of our praise. And when we do that, church, we are commending God's works to the next generation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we are doing this, and we need to continue to do this because this is the biblical pattern of how households work. So it's not just about sending your kids to church downstairs or sending them to a Christian school, but we need to be able to talk about God in our homes. So I want to encourage you to do this at home. If you haven't been doing this, today is a great day to start. And it may not happen every day, but I want to encourage you to try this every day. My wife and I started reading a chapter a day over dinner. So we're going through the book of Mark. And then there are days when I'm out of town and we can't do it. There are days when my kids have to stay late at school, so they're not at the dinner table. But whenever we're together, we read a chapter a day together. And we talk about the chapter. It doesn't take a lot of work. You don't have to prepare for this. But I want to encourage you to do this. Talk about God, not just on Sundays, but every day. Amen?
Amen?
This is what John Piper said about this verse. He said, "It is the biblical duty of every generation of Christians to see to it that the next generation hears about the mighty acts of God. God does not drop a new Bible from heaven on every generation. He intends that the older generation will teach the newer generation to read and think and trust and obey and rejoice. It is true that God draws near personally to every new generation of believers, but He does so through the biblical truth that they learn from the preceding generations." Amen. So we all have a responsibility. We are all here because of the generation before us as well. And that's how God designed this to happen. So in order for this to happen, we must cherish the gospel. For us to commend something means we cherish it. We love it. We have a love for the truth. And so how do we do this? Well, let's look at the next verse. It says, "We meditate. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I'll meditate on your wonderful works." So you meditate on the word of God. You meditate on the gospel. These two sets of verses, verses 5 and 6, talks about the next generation, they will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty as I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. So we proclaim, and they will tell. Right? So we teach, they tell. We meditate on the wonderful works, on the gospel, and they will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. So we all have a role to play. Are you proclaiming the great deeds? Are you meditating? To meditate means to chew on the gospel truth. Because without the gospel truth, we're just a gathering of people. We need to proclaim the truth. Talk about what God is doing in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then, verse 7 says this, they celebrate your abundant goodness and joyful singing of your righteousness. One commentator said this about this verse, that this is the prayer for the next generation, that he prays this verse for the next generation. And I thought, I saw that and I thought, we need to do this too. Amen? How do you pray for the next generation? You pray that they will celebrate God's abundant goodness. Not just celebrating his goodness, but joyful singing of God's goodness and his righteousness. If the next generation can do this, oh my, imagine where we will be. Learning about the Bible is not just about having theological views and learning about theology. Theology needs to lead to doxology, right? We need to worship God. Who cares if you just know about all this knowledge of God? I know some pastors, they get really excited about talking theology. But, and oftentimes we'll talk, but the theological discussion doesn't lead to doxology. And I get really disappointed in that. You know, they just think it's so cool that they have all this head knowledge. And I'm like, it doesn't impress me at all. You know, are you worshiping God with this knowledge? As you learn about God, does that lead you to worshiping him? Because if it's not, then we're just studying for the sake of studying. Theology leads to doxology. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then verse 8, according to Kidner, he's another scholar, this is the most quoted statement in the Old Testament. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. This comes from Exodus 34, verse 6. And let me read that to you. Exodus 34, 6 says this, and he passed in front of Moses, this is God, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So that's God talking about himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So Moses teaches us to the next generation. And then this verse, that phrase is repeated many times in the Bible. Why is that? It's passing on to the next generation of who God is. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love. There's a verse that follows this that many of us forget, it's there, but let me continue to read that. In verse 7 of chapter 34, it says this, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's who our God is. So he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's who our God is. Yet, there's a yet. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. This is something that we forget when we talk about the love of God. We need to remember that as well. It's so easy to promote that God is love. And when I hear about people talking about God, they talk about that God is love. And that's good. But it's not just about God is love. He also does not leave the guilty unpunished. So we need to talk about that as well when we talk about God's love. God is love, yes. But he doesn't Leave the guilty unpunished. But how can a loving God allow this to happen? Because he is a loving God. We need to remember that as well. Now this verse 8, Jonah also quotes this. The kids are learning about it downstairs. How cool is that? Right? What did Jonah say when God sent him to the Ninevites? He said, God, I knew you were compassionate and gracious. That's why I didn't want to tell them about you. They don't deserve your goodness. So Jonah uses this verse to argue against God, like, see God, I knew you were too good. But it's a reminder that his goodness extends to all. Not just some, but to all. His goodness extends to all. And that isn't that what verse 9 is about? The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made, all his creation. He has compassion. And then he moves into the next set of verses, which is praising God for his kingly greatness. All the works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Your faithful people. Some translations would say the saints. All who believe extol you. How? The next two verses talk about that. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. So they tell and they speak. They tell and they declare. So we have a responsibility, folks, for all of us who believe. We need to tell. We need to speak. We need to use our mouths and talk about God. I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about God these days. I hear about how people say they're great, how great they are, how amazing they are, but not how amazing God is. But we are called, believers, we are called to tell of the glory of his kingdom. We are called to speak of God's might. We need to talk about it. We need to share who God is and what he is doing. It says that so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. So how will people know about God? We have to talk about it. We have to proclaim it. And this is the responsibility of you and me, the church. This is our responsibility, amen? So we're all responsible for this. It's not just the pastor's job, you know. Sometimes I wish it were, but it's not. It's all of our responsibilities. Tell about it. Talk to them about, talk to your neighbors about God. Talk to your children about God. Talk to your coworkers about God. Talk about God in the church. What is he doing in your life today? We need to speak and tell. And then verse 13, it looks like there are two verses there, so I split them up, A and B. So 13a says this, and your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generation. So God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It knows no end. That's our God's kingdom is that way. You know what's interesting? You know who else said this? In Daniel chapter 4, verse 3, King Nebuchadnezzar said this. He said that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. Someone who's experienced God will naturally talk about God. Is God working in your life? Are you experiencing Him? Do you know the love of God in your life? Do you trust in Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? Is He your King? Let's go back to what we talked about earlier. Is God your King? Have you submitted to Him? Is He your Lord? Or are you following the world? Instead of telling about God, are you telling about the world to your neighbors? Let's focus on God. Let's talk about Him. I think we can do better than Nebuchadnezzar, amen? So, yeah. 13b says, the Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. Boy, is this a reminder I need to remind myself. Because there are days that are not that encouraging, let's be honest. But we need to hold on to God's promises. For all His promises are yes and amen. He is faithful in all He does. Our Father in heaven is a faithful Father. He upholds all who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. He helps the weak. This is so encouraging to me, and I hope it's encouraging to you. He helps the weak, and boy, am I weak. Boy, do I need Him every day, every hour. As you know, I just came back from Korea last week, so this whole week was just a big jet lag, mushy week for me. And I don't know about you, but when I'm jet lagged, I'm a little punchy. And I say things I shouldn't say, you know. So there are a lot of things I said even at the staff meeting, like, I can't believe I just said that, you know. And it's just a reminder of, man, I'm so weak. And it's only through the grace of God that I was able to survive this week, you know. So if I come across punchy today, I'm still jet lagged. Yeah. But I'm realizing as I'm getting older, I'm not Superman. I used to think, oh yeah, coming from Korea, no big deal. Just, I can do this. But now, man, I need my naps. And I need to admit I'm weak. You know, it's a little hard for me. But I'm learning, and that's what I'm passing on to the next generation, is we're all weak. But God helps the weak. Lean in on Him. Right? Don't leave here saying, well, we're all weak. That's not the point of my message. The point of my message is we are weak, but God helps the weak. Go to God for help. Go to God for help. Then in the next verses, David talks about how God provides, how God satisfies. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food at the proper time. You don't have to worry about food at the proper time. He provides. Not only does He provide, it says here, He satisfies. You open your hand and satisfy desires of every living thing. Our God satisfies us. What more do we need? He provides and He satisfies. And even that should be enough for all of us to say, praise God. David continues, and he talks about how God also answers us The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He answers us. He is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. So we could look at these set of verses and say, God answers our prayers. But it goes deeper than that. He answers those who call upon him. And what does it mean to call upon God? To call upon God is more than just saying a prayer. To call upon someone means to rely on God. It means to trust in God. It also means to fear God and to love him and have a relationship with him. That's what it means to call upon him. So it's not just, God, help me. It's not just that. But behind the help me, you're saying that I rely on you, I trust in you, I love you, I fear you, and I have a relationship with you. That's what it means to call upon him. Amen? So it's not just an empty prayer, but there's so much more. Let me repeat that again. It's to rely on God. Do you rely on him? When you say your prayers, do you trust in him when you say your prayers? Do you fear him? Do you love him? And do you have a relationship with him? Because if you know this, you will know that he protects his people. The Lord watches over all who love him. You love him, he watches over you. I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. The Creator, Almighty God, watches over me. And he destroys the wicked. He doesn't leave the wicked alone. He destroys them. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to know that God watches over you. You just have to know that he protects you, he hears you, he loves you, he is gracious, he is compassionate. That's who our God is. And when you know this, your natural response should be praise. You praise God. You don't just praise God 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. You praise him always. Amen. Always we praise him. And then he concludes, my mouth will speak. Notice how many times he said that. We have to use our mouth, right? We got to talk. We got to speak. Talk about God. Praise God with your mouths. Let's praise him with our bodies. And let's show the world, let's show the next generation what it means to praise God. Why do we praise him? When your children ask, why do we go to church? It shouldn't be because I said so. Because I want to praise him. Because God is great. He is so good, I can't even say all the good things about God. I am so limited. That's how great our God is. Speak. Let's use our bodies in worshiping God. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Notice it's forever and ever. It's forever. The same commentator I mentioned earlier, Kindler, said this about this last verse, that this note of praise is as wide as mankind and as unfading as eternity. I really like that. As wide as mankind and as unfading as eternity. So what is our response, church?
Praise.
We praise him because he is great. Because he is greatly to be praised. And we praise him forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. We thank you that you're compassionate, that you are merciful, that you are a loving God. So, Lord, we come before you this morning with our hearts filled with praise, Lord. We praise you because you are good. We praise you because you are great and because you are worthy of our praise. Help us to proclaim your goodness, O God. Your goodness to the next generation. We pray for the next generation of believers, Lord. Help us to be faithful to them. Help us to pass on to them your love. And help us to remember your goodness, your greatness, your faithfulness, O God. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's all rise and let's sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.